Brian Masuroski, Joe Beamer here with you on WBEN on a Monday morning. Joe, glad to have you in here.
Yes, glad to be back. It was a great weekend, and now for another week of excellence.
Hope everything's going well. Just, I got like a pit in my stomach all morning long, Joe.
No.
I getting ready this morning, you know, 3 o'clock hour. And I, you know, you hear some rattling, you hear a noise, and it took me back to the last time I heard when I had the bat in the house,
uh-oh,
which was around this time last year. And I hear just a little bit of rattling, hear something going on. And like the worst part about it, right? And you can help me out here all morning long with this or anything we're talking about. 803-0930, 803-0930 to be a part of the conversation. Give us a call or send a text into our text board. It's just like the not knowing exactly what's going on. So I don't know if there is something. I mean, there probably is something in there, right? I mean, if I heard something, there's probably. But I don't know if I heard it up at the roof. So I hear something, I immediately turn on the bathroom vent fan, like the exhaust fan, just hoping that whatever's in there, it's just going to blow it out. So I turned it on, and then I didn't hear anything. I haven't heard anything yet. My wife didn't hear anything.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I chopped its head off with the fan, whatever it was.
So you're still convinced it was a living something?
Well, it wasn't a dead something.
But not just something blown around, like this was something moving?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. It wasn't a leaf making the
that would scare the heck out of me.
But what I don't want is a repeat of what happened last time, which is like I don't have the means to just go through every vent in the house and just, you know, like be on top of every square inch of the house at all times, right? To, you know exactly what's going on. Like that's not really going to happen, not like entirely feasible. So what happened last time was it just kind of, all right, I didn't hear anything for a while. Maybe something died. Like, that would be great. Whatever, if it's blowing around in there for a while. Or maybe it just got out during the day, and then I put my son to bed, and this bat comes screeching down the hallway. And then, you know, it's like me and my neighbor and his friend with nets, like, at 9 o'clock at night, just like, you know, the Scooby-Doo mystery team running through the house trying to catch this thing. And I don't want that because now we got two kids in the house. The idea of my three-year-old seeing a bat flying around in his bedroom, and then he's mostly cool with stuff, but the thought that that would freak him out and then it would be tough to get him to go to bed is just not something. So I'm going to have to like call somebody and be like, listen, I don't know for sure if there's something in there, but go ahead and tell. Like, is that the only reasonable thing to do? Probably.
I mean, yeah. Or chase it out and lock all the doors or lock all
but
the
like
windows.
But like, how do you chase? Chase what out? Like, there's nothing in the house right now. There might
be
something in the vents.
That's true. You don't want to wait for that.
I have no idea what it is.
When I was a kid, there was a bat in the house when we lived in Hornell, and my parents had to chase it out the window.
See, that's impressive.
Yeah. And now, I believe I was sleeping during the whole thing, so I don't have any memory of this, and I was, I think, around 3 or 4 when this happened. And that was the only time a bat had gotten in the house.
I don't want to say how the last bat thing ended in case it's illegal. My house. So,
yeah.
But the idea of being able to chase it out of the house, this thing was too crafty to be cornered. But it was taken care of. I just don't want to deal with it again. I wake up, I leave in the morning, I'm telling my wife, I'm just like, hey, I texted her this morning. I just go, be vigilant. But I left this morning, I'm like, you know, I heard something rattling again. Now she's on me with like, well, why didn't you close up the thing? I'm like, close up what?
Right?
I don't even know where this thing got in from.
We don't know what it is.
Wait, you can't just put duct tape over a vent that's supposed to be leading to the outside, right? I mean,
yeah, I'd rather have the professional come in.
Squeak through anything, but I'll get up on that ladder and go all the way up there, whatever, and do, you know, nothing, right?
Well, good luck.
what do you expect me to do? So, I don't know. That's my morning. It's like that pit in the stomach feeling, knowing that like as soon as I leave here, I'm going to have to deal with whatever it is I'm going to have to deal with.
Now, see, with that story, this is going to make me sound really weak, what I'm going to follow up with. But there is this big bug that is terrorizing our patio, and it has now clung itself to the screen to go out to the patio. Nothing like a bat, but that has been what we've been focusing on this weekend.
We just kill it.
Well, see, I can't get it's got wings, so I'll hit it off the screen, and it will come back. Like, I every time I think I got rid of it, it doesn't just stay in one place while I'm on the patio. It will fly around. But when it's, like, sleeping,
what is it,
I guess.
Like a hornet?
No. It's like a big, like, that big.
Dragonfly?
No, it's huge. I have no idea what it is. And it makes a buzzing sound.
Locust?
It makes a sound.
Cicada?
It's something that I've never seen before with my eyes.
Well, just kill it when you get home.
Yeah, but it flies around. Like, it's not easy to catch, is what I'm trying to say.
No law against doing that to a bug, as far as I know.
If I could...
Don't tell anybody if you do, though.
If I could kill it, I would, Brian. I can't get a hold of this thing. This thing is quick, it's shifty. And if for some reason, it will fly out, right? It will fly out into Williamsville. Next thing I know, this thing's back on my... I don't know what it is about my patio.
Well, stop putting bug food on your screen.
There's no food. I clean the grill very well and sweep up the remains after... I mean, there is nothing there for that bug, and it keeps coming back, of all patios, to our patio. Again, nothing like what you're going through.
Something about your cooking, or whatever. At least you know where it is. It's on the outside.
For now.
What's going
to
happen?
Well, there's a little break where our dog likes to go in and out in our screen.
It's a makeshift dog door in your screen.
Well, he made it. but I'm just saying, I might not see it one day. Oh, beautiful day. Open the door. This thing's inside. Then we have a real problem.
Mark is on the cell phone. Now you're on WBEM. How's it going this morning, Mark?
Hey, pretty good. Your experiences with a bat. Could I ask you a couple questions about your house?
Sure.
Okay. So how old is your house?
Old.
Old, okay. Do you have any... I'm trying to just ask a couple questions to get out there. And how about, do you have any trees close to the roof of your house?
No. See, that's why, you know, last year when this happened and we, you know, got the bat out, I was kind of wondering how it decided upon my house. I mean, there's trees in the area, but nothing right up against, nothing, you know, within a short distance of the house. It's a tall, old house, but why me? That's basically was my my thing.
Well, okay, so if you don't have any trees, that can pretty much cancel out any squirrels or chipmunks or anything like that. And you have seen a bat, so it's probably bats. The one thing you want to do, take a little bit of time tonight, and, you know, right around dusk, just stand outside and watch your house. You'll see them coming out. And wherever they come out of is where they go in.
Yeah, okay. That was Mark, and thank you for the call. I appreciate it. That was what we tried to do last year. Now, unfortunately, last year, where they came out of or is not where they came in. Because they came out of somewhere in the house. Like they came out of some vent or something somewhere inside the house and not where they... I know exactly kind of where they entered, that like exhaust fan.
So you kind of know.
Yeah.
But you can't cover up an exhaust fan.
I'm sure I can do something, but you can't just seal it.
Right, no.
It's not allowed.
You need the exhaust.
Exactly. That's what it's there for.
Yeah. I mean, that would be very dangerous.
It'll turn into the thing in the kitchen. Does anyone else have this in the kitchen where you have the hood over the range and it doesn't lead to anywhere outside? That's like my kitchen. So you just have the hood, you turn the fan on, and just blowing everything back in the kitchen. Sure it's dissipating something or whatever. I feel like that's like 50% of all the hoods out there don't actually lead outside. That's what I would turn that exhaust fan into.
See, this is the stuff I miss out on not owning a home, because I couldn't tell you where anything goes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's all... the hood to your range is just going back into your bedroom. That's why it smells like burgers in there all the time.
I have no idea. If there's a light on, I call somebody. So these are the things I miss out on not owning a home.
We'll go to MJ in East Aurora. You're on WBEN. How's it going this morning?
It's going good. Several years ago in the Boston Hills, I had an incident with a bat. I have a chalet-style house at the time, and I was waking up. It was a Saturday morning, and all of a sudden, my dogs are going crazy. They're jumping on the bed and running from room to room, and I'm like, okay, what's up? And all of a sudden, something kind of dive bombs me, and I realize it's a bat. Well, It just freaked me out because I wasn't quite awake, and all of a sudden, I get this bat flying in the room. So anyways, one thing and another, I called 911 because I didn't know what to do. I don't have an immediate neighbor. And they were debating about it, and they said they'd send somebody out. And it's like, okay, fine. They called and said the sheriff's department would be coming out. So I went to the end of the driveway, which was quite long, and I'm standing there in my bathrobe and my PJs, and the sheriff's car pulls up. He gets out. He's got his belt on with all his equipment, his gun and everything. And he says, where's the bat? And I said, I don't know. He says, did you close the doors in the room? And I said, no, I wasn't thinking about that. And one thing I forgot to mention was when I called 911, the girl on the other end says, well, do you have anything you can catch it with? Like, you know, a bowl or something, put it over it. And I said, I'm not getting that close to that thing. And she says, well, do you have anything like a net, a fishing net or a butterfly net? And I said, yeah, like I keep a bleep bleep fishing net next to my bed. I was just so irritated with this woman because she's trying to tell me all this stuff. And it's like, it isn't going to happen. So anyways, when the sheriff's department shows up, he gets out and he says, where'd you leave the bat? And I said, I don't know, because I just left the house with my dogs. I didn't want them to get bitten. He goes, oh, great. He said, it would have helped if you closed the door. And I thought, yeah, oh, well. So anyways, he goes in the house and he comes out a little bit later and he says, I got him. He says, the good news is I got him. And I said, and the bad news? He says, he's on your bed.
Have fun with that.
Bat on my bed. And he said, well, it took us a while to figure out what to do. We were all debating, and somebody mentioned that their grandfather had bat problems at one time, and you swing something around in a circle, like a towel or anything, like a ceiling fan and whatever. He says, it'll disorient them, and they'll just fall down. He says, and I whacked them with the broom. And it's like, great. I said, so now what happens? I said, can you get rid of them? And he just kind of looked at me and he said, yeah, okay. So he went back in the house and he says, do you have a shovel? And I thought, oh my God, this has got to be bad. And so I gave him a small shovel and he brought it out and he threw it in the woods. And that was the end of the bat.
There you go. MJ, did you use those sheets again?
Well, I washed them a couple times because I was really leery about putting them back on the bed.
Yeah, probably a good idea. Hey, thank you for the call and the story. I thought she was going to say, you know, they went in just guns ablaze and all of a sudden, they're shooting at the bat inside the house. It didn't hit them once. The fishing net thing, that's what last year my neighbor is. Do you have a net? And I'm like, buddy, you know me. I don't have a net going around. He's like, all right. So he got, you know, a net. So the net is what eventually caught him. And I'm thinking like, all right, well, what can I use? What do I have that might be something? So I wrapped a trash bag around a tote. And I'm like, well, it's close. If he comes flying around,
there's a chance.
I can, you know, tote him. And then I'll be in the bag and then I'll bag him up and we'll do something like that.
You should have asked me. I could have lent you my old lacrosse goalie stick. That's almost like a net. It's big enough.
It's big enough.
Yeah.
It could act as a net.
If you need it, I know exactly where it is.
I might have to use it.
And let me tell you, I'm not using it.
Dave in Florida, you're on WBEN. What's going on, Dave?
Hi, guys. Yeah, I used to live in Buffalo. I've only been down here in Tampa a couple of years. But one night, we had a double home in Buffalo, New York, and the bedrooms are upstairs. And we hear this thing flying around the room, and it's dark. And all of a sudden, my wife gets up. She goes, that's a big moth flying around here. So I open the light, and I say, honey, that's not a moth. It's a bat. We flew out of that room so fast, let the door open. Didn't the thing fly down with us downstairs? So now my wife's hysterical. I'm hysterical. She calls 911. So I said, well, I got to open up all the windows and doors, and hopefully this thing will fly out. So sure enough, we're screaming at each other. I'm opening the doors and windows, and it does fly out. 5 minutes later, a police car rolls up in front of my house. I see them get out of the car, and they said, is there a problem here, sir? And I said, no. I said, we had a bat, but we got it to, you know, we got it to fly out of the room. I said, why? He said, well, one of your neighbors called and thought you guys were killing each other. They thought it was a domestic. Yeah, they thought we were killing each other.
Oh,
and
my God.
We were so loud and the windows were open. Obviously, the neighbors heard us. But the best part of the story is 2 days later, I get a call. I'm in the pool with the grandkids. I get a call from Erie County Health Department. And the girl says to me, hi. She goes, Mr. I won't say my last name, but she goes, Mr. Tagg, she goes, did you have a bat in your house? I said, yeah, how do you know that? She goes, well, when the police came, they had a report that they had a call that they had you had a bat in your house. She goes, let me ask you something. Was the thing flying around? I said, yeah, it was flying around our room. We had no idea what it was until we turned the light on. She goes, well, did it bite you? I said, well, how would I know if it bit me? I said, it's flying around the room. I said, we had to let it go out of the house. My wife's hysterical. She goes, well, she goes, the problem with that is, she goes, if that bat is rabbit and it bit you, she goes, that's very serious. You could die from that. I said, you're kidding me. She goes, no. She goes, you're going to have to go get rabbit shots. I said, you're kidding me. She goes, no, you and your wife both have to go. She goes, I have to report this. She goes, you call Erie County Medical Center, set up an appointment, and both of us had to go, and we had to get like 7-8 shots apiece just because we never caught the bat and it couldn't be tested for rabies or whatever they call it. And she goes, if it bit you and it was rabid, you could die from that. I said, oh, my God. So we both had to go to ECMC and get 7-8 shots apiece.
Seven shots?
Yeah. And when we got there, I went first, right? I made the appointment and went. And I said to the guy, I said, where are you going to give me these shots? He said, well, I'm going to give them to you where your thigh is. He said, and he said, it won't hurt. He said, but you get three at a time. You get three. And then a week later, you come back and get the other three. And then you come back a week later and get the booster shot.
Wow.
But then I said, oh my God. He said, why didn't you catch it? I said, how was I going to catch it? My wife's hysterical. I'm running around the house with a net, like you guys are talking about a net.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what you should have done, he said, you should have got a coffee can. You put it over the bat. I said, it's impossible. I said, who has an empty coffee can in their house? I said, not me. But I said, if I'd have known that, yeah, I would have tried to catch it. And then he said, what happens is they take it to the lab and they test it for rabies. And if it doesn't have rabies, then you're fine. But he said, if it bit you and it's rabid, he said, you could die from that a year later and there's no symptoms. He said, you'll just drop over. And I couldn't believe that when they told me that. So I called my doctor just to verify if he was telling the right story. And the doctor said, oh, yeah. He said, you got to go for the shots. He said, because God forbid, he said, you could die from that. If that bat would bit you, and if it's rabid. I said, oh, my God.
Yeah. Well,
but anyway, that was a story and a half. But
yeah, Dave, thank you for the story. And that's, you know, what you're trying to avoid here, trying to make sure a thing isn't flying around because you never know. And that's why, like, the dogs, you know, the dogs have their rabies shots. I'm more scared of, like, walking home and it's like my dog's looking like Ozzy Osbourne with, like, the head in its mouth and, you know, the rest of it down on the floor, because that's what would happen.
But at least your dog, as you said, your dogs are protected.
Yeah, but I'm not.
Right, yeah, yeah. Right. Someone's got to pick it up from there, yeah.
The rest of us aren't.
But speaking of things flying around in rabies, just a good public service announcement, they are starting to drop those rabies packets for the deer to eat. So if you see something, so don't pick it up.
Don't eat it yourself.
Don't eat it, don't pick it up, don't touch it. That's to make sure that wildlife is protected from rabies, which in turn would protect you and yours from rabies. So I thought it was a good opportunity to put that out.
Yeah, a little PSA from Joe there. Hey, we'll be back in just a couple minutes after the news with Lucas on WBEN. So we're back, Joe. B-Maz and Beamer on WBEN, where I thank everyone for helping me, you know, bat. I think it's a bat in the house again.
Well, I mean, I hope everything goes well, but I hope we do get some kind of confirmation of what it is.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna have to call somebody. Like, part of this is I don't exactly know who to call. Like, do you just call a regular exterminator? You know, it's not a bug problem. It's
They exterminate anything.
I don't know.
Any creature that gets
into the
house?
You know,
I've never heard of a bat. You know, like a bat specific.
Yeah, like that's the.
So I think it has to be.
Who do you deal with? We had the one caller who had the sheriff's department. I'm not about to do that. But you know, whoever wants to fish in.
That's
down
what you
there.
Do. Go to the. You're going to go to the fair this week. Go to the Niagara County Fair.
Fly someone down.
The sheriffs will be there. Hey, am I supposed to ask you about this?
Yeah.
There you go. Informative visit.
Nets. All right. Well, Joe, a lot of other things going on in the news. I was talking about, this is now going on 2 weeks straight where I've had conversations with people about the movies. Has that happened to you in the past 2 weeks where you've talked more about the movies than you have in maybe the last 5 years?
Yeah, I would say this. I have talked more about movies that are actually in the theater and not available streaming on your TV, which I can't remember the last time that's happened. And it's the first time since A Quiet Place 2 that I desperately want to get to a movie theater this week.
Okay. I see. I have not had that feeling of like needing to go to the movies.
You sold me on having to see Oppenheimer at the theater.
At the IMAX.
Yes. Which I could walk to. So, yes.
You're right there.
Yeah.
But like it so I was having this conversation again this past weekend. The friend who's like, I gotta go see this. Like, oh, tomorrow I've got some free time. Might go and see this. And he pulled up the theater by the McKinley Mall, and which I guess is like one of the last remaining cheap shows in town. Like,
yes.
They've gotten rid of just about all of them.
I know.
That
Apple
used
Tree
to
Mall.
Be my wife and I, when we would go to movies, it would mostly be the cheap show.
Movieland 8.
Which one was that?
That was the one by Home Depot. It's now one of the chapels. Movieland 8.
By the Galleria Mall?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Tuesdays, I would do Bowerly's show when he was in the morning, 9 to 12. I would screen calls from Bowerly, and then I'd go see the 12:30 show. Brian, $3 got you movie, small popcorn, and drink. It was the life.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I remember the Saturday night movie deal. Was it that? $3 for popcorn, drink, and a movie?
Sounds right.
I think on Saturday nights there.
Apple Tree Mall was a great one. They made that in AT&T. I miss that cheap show.
They had that one here. The one on Maple before it was torn down was a cheap show. It was a GMC. Was it GMC, like the car, was also the movie theater?
I just remember it was called University 8. I don't know.
General Cinemas.
Yes.
And then it was an AMC, and then AMC was running that. I mean, basically two movie theaters in the same plaza, so you know one of them had to go.
You could throw a rock at the other one.
And that one turned into a cheap, and then it was kind of demolished a short while later.
I loved the cheap movie theater. Like, I wish they'd bring that back.
It was great.
Now there's one only in the South Towns.
Yeah, that's like the North Towns needs another one. Even the one in Niagara Falls, I think, closed down. There was one behind Eastern Hills Mall.
Yeah.
Did I think about that right? You had that wasn't there anymore. So we've really kind of used them all up.
And I'll tell you, these last few months of the Eastern Hills Mall is really missing that scent of popcorn. And like I said, you would go walk around the mall, you could get the popcorn because the concession stand was in the mall. It wasn't in the theater. So you could get the concession while walking around the mall. I loved that.
Yeah, that is pretty nice. Movie popcorn, some of the best stuff. So like that plays into the question, Joe, like what is important to you to make it, you know, worthwhile to go to the movie theater? Or if you go to the movie, do you need something specific? Do you just like going to the movies, or does something specific drive you to a certain show or a certain theater? Because, you know, back to this conversation, they mentioned that, oh, I could see Oppenheimer here. Oh, it's only $5. I said, hold on a second. One, I didn't know there was still a cheap show. Two, they're showing movies that are out right now. Like, that's not usually how they operate. Three, $5 is kind of crazy considering, you know, obviously it's a much different experience in the IMAX than what it would be at an older movie theater.
Yeah.
But $5 is a long way from almost $25, you know, when you put on the fees, you buy it online, that I paid. So, like, you have this wide disparity. You know, going to the movies can mean one of like a million things. You could be paying $5, you could be paying $25. You could be going to see it on this like five-story tall, huge screen with speakers, or you could be going to see it at a movie theater that has like big, luxurious reclining seats, or you could see it at a tiny movie theater with the normal seats that like have been there since the 80s, right? You could have a place that says butter your own popcorn.
Oh, that's a big plus.
You could be at a place that has like hardly any concessions at all. There's such a wide range of like options and ideas of what going. You can go to the drive-in even too, which I almost want to put as a totally separate thing.
that's a completely different experience. Yeah. And you're devoting the night and then some because it goes into the next morning.
Yeah. Well, if you stay for both. Both features.
If you go with Cheap Joe Beamer, we are not leaving until I get both movies I paid for. Yeah.
But what is it to? Is there something like that that drives you to the theater? Is there something that makes or breaks the experience for you? And what in 2023 gets you to watch a movie off the couch and into the movie theater? 803-0930. What is it for you?
I will tell you this. I always forget how much I like going to the movies, right? So it does need to be that movie, A Quiet Place 2, scene shot in Buffalo. I had to go, right? It was right when things were starting to open up from the pandemic. So a night out, awesome. Oppenheimer, I've heard you and so many people talk about it, and you talk about how great it was seeing it on the IMAX. I have to go see it. Like, that will bring me in. And then I'll remember how much I like the theater. I do like going out for the movies. I wish it was cheaper. Like, I wish the $5 theater was across the street from me, because Brian, I'd probably go to a movie at least once a month. Like, that would definitely bring me in. $5, you know, cheap popcorn on top of that, that would bring me in.
So I was starting to have this conversation with my buddy who was over and watching, you know, he pulled up $5. And I said, you know what, like, $5 is what drove him. Like, how could I not go and see this movie? You know, it's only $5 and there you go. To me, I would not want to see it for $5 at that movie theater. Like, to me, what drove me to go see it is IMAX, huge screen, booming sound, experience that you cannot get at home. The $5 movie, to me, is something that, you know, I turn the lights off. I have this insane HD TV with the picture that's going to be better than 90% of movie theater screens out there, with a surround sound and everything. I'm beating the $5 cinema experience in my living room.
There is some, well, and you can pause it, which I think is huge, especially if you have a bladder like mine. There is something about the theater, though. Take the IMAX out of it. There is something different than being on your couch or being in the theater where that's the focus. If I'm on my couch, I can easily be distracted.
I don't think it's a coincidence that, in, you know, I know the digital projectors played a lot into this. You know, a lot of them weren't able to afford to upgrade and, you know, move on to what the movies had now. And that's why a lot of the cheap shows closed. But it also happened, you know, with the advent of being able to stream any movie that you want to. And when you don't have some sort of cool hook to bring you in, it's a little bit different. It's also a little bit different talking about age, Joe. Like, you could bring me 10 years ago, I don't need any frill at all or special feature or huge screen to get me to the movie theaters. I just like going to the movies. I like eating the popcorn. 15 years ago, that's definitely true. I used to hang out all day at the movie theater. Didn't matter what movie theater. Yeah. You could go at all time.
Popcorn and Bunch of Crunch.
When you have an abundance of time, right, to kill and like no other responsibilities, whatever, I'll go to the movies. The cheaper, the better. The ticket.
Yeah.
When time is at a premium, it's going to take more to get me to the movies. Like, it was a miracle that I was able to see Oppenheimer.
It's difficult to justify.
4 hours. You know, amazingly, on the same day the movie came out, I just happened to have an afternoon to myself where I could take 4 hours to go and see a movie. That doesn't happen every day, and if you're going to make an appointment of it, it better be something good. Either the movie's going to be really good, which, you know, might still happen. Maybe that's why these two movies are crushing it right now. Or, like, the experience has to be really novel. And, like, the IMAX thing is that, to me, right now. Like, that is something you don't get anywhere else.
No, and that's true. I mean, IMAX definitely, because that's the experience you're going to get only when it's in the IMAX. I will say urgency, though, Brian. You mentioned 15 years ago. 15 years ago, if you didn't see that movie in the theater, it might be a year until you can see it, right? I mean, yes, it would go through the cheap movie, but movies didn't leave the theater and then were available on DVD the next day. I mean, they went away for almost a year, and then they would have a huge, you know, release event. Blockbuster guarantees this movie will be available this weekend. You don't have that anymore. Now, a movie might be in the theater 30 days exclusive, and then it's on HBO Max. It's on Netflix. It's on one of the streaming services. So I think urgency, well, I'm going to see this movie in maybe a month or two. Not, well, if I don't see it in the theater, it might be a year. Everyone's talking about this movie, which also might be another thing. Not everyone's talking about every movie like they used to.
Oh, no. I mean, it's hard to keep tabs of. My wife said something interesting when we were talking about this, and I think this... it's something you might not think about, but I think it does actually play a role here. And she made a comment. She said, I don't even know what movies are out anymore because I don't see the commercials.
Right.
So if you think about that, like we have streaming TV. Everything is on some form of streaming platform. Very little TV watching, unless it's live sports, is done with active commercials. We see movie trailers on TV during the Super Bowl. And, like, that's it, right? If it's not on during a football game, your movie trailer, we're not seeing it unless you're actively seeking it out. I think that might play into it.
Super Bowl and Monday Night Football. If, like, a new Disney movie's coming out, problem with that is available on Disney Plus 30 days after the theater. Like,
it is?
Again, yeah. And, like, it's a tune-out. I'm looking through the movies now. Haunted Mansion, haven't seen anything about it. Talk to Me, only know because you said it was paired up with the movie. Barbie and Oppenheimer, obviously. I didn't know there was a Mission Impossible until last week. I had no idea there was a new Mission Impossible.
I knew they were filming it. When I looked at the title, though, do you know? It says, like, part one. So
yeah, it does.
There must be another Mission Impossible following, you know, next year or something.
No idea. Indiana Jones, we talked about. Elemental, Spider-Man. I have not seen any previews for these things. Again, didn't know there was another Spider-Man. Don't know what Elemental is.
But do you think that plays... I never thought of it until she said that.
Yeah.
We're just not even... It's not hitting you over the head like it used to.
Oh, Mike, you used to have a four-minute commercial break where two of the minutes would be movie trailers. That's definitely not the case anymore.
And, or it might be, but we're not watching it.
And you're not watching it. Like, a lot of stuff that I watch, like you said, other than sports or Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on Friday, is something that doesn't have commercials. You know what I mean? Like, I watch Wheel of Fortune usually on delay and fast forward through the commercials. So we're not watching as many commercials. We're not watching as much live TV as we used to. But I also don't think they're advertising it as much. I really don't.
Yeah.
Again, that's
coming to reach our you know, eyes and ears.
Right, because that's coming from the perspective of someone who just admitted doesn't watch a lot of live TV.
But I do think that kind of plays a role. Like the IMAX thing is the urgency thing, right?
Yes.
So even if that movie is hitting your TV in 30 days or whatever it is, you're not going to be able to see it in the IMAX. So like that to me is the one thing that brings you out. Is it the theater? We made such a big deal of these reclining seats. How's that?
They're nice.
Working out. Like, I never felt compelled. It's nice. It never drove me to a movie. It might take me to a theater. When the AMC over here put them in, we would look there first when they did their whole redesign and to see if any showtime worked. If it didn't, we would go somewhere else to, you know, the mall or wherever else had the movie. Usually the Regal at the Mall, I feel like that had like the most showtime, so the Transit one had more screens than the AMC over here did. But if we didn't see it with the reclining seats, it was no big deal. Like, it didn't take me to the movies. It might have convinced me of sitting in that theater, but it was the movie itself that brought me in.
The recliner doesn't bring me in. The recliners, though, might dictate where I go, and that's not me. That's my wife. My wife said there's a certain theater that used to be the place to go that still doesn't have recliners. And if there's a movie we want to see, Quiet Place 2 is a good example of this. We went to another theater. Again, wanted to see the movie. So it's not bringing me in, but it might turn me away from a specific theater when it comes to the reclining chairs.
Yeah, I don't think it turns me away or puts me on that much. It's nice. I enjoy it. It's great. It makes, if you have to sit in one of the first couple of rows, you're able to do it sometimes because you just lean all the way back and not tilt your head or something like that. But it's not the thing that's driving me in.
No. And like the IMAX not having recliners is not a factor because you're there for the screen. You shouldn't be leaning back. You should be into it, focused,
yeah,
ready to go.
It's the old rocker chairs. Remember when that came out? Like, oh, I rock back and forth. Wow, look at this.
When the mall theater opened, when they got rid of the AMC and put the Regal at the Galleria Mall, that's the seats they had. That was the first theater in the area to have those seats.
Now I think they're all recliners in all of them. I remember just the stadium seating at the Regal was...
big deal.
That was, whoa, what are we doing here? Like, this is all new. Like this, and then every other movie theater felt old compared to it. Now you go into some of those rooms at the one on Transit. Feels pretty old.
That's the thing. I mean, that used to be the theater to go to, and it's I'm surprised that during the pandemic they didn't use that to upgrade the interior.
Yeah, and the only IMAX in town, which they're enjoying the, you know, that right now. I went to that screening at 10:40 in the morning, full theater.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
Wow.
And like every other showing throughout the weekend, I was looking when I was buying tickets, full.
That's good.
That's pretty impressive. At, you know, $25 a pop, that's good.
I'll tell you, this is what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking when Oppenheimer moves out of the IMAX, which they could leave it there for a while, we have a writer's and an actor strike going on. What old movie would you like to see back in the IMAX? Again, talking about you can't get that experience again.
I don't know. The thing with the IMAX, though, it has to be for the IMAX. Like, it has to be filmed for the IMAX.
So that limits the movies.
So I don't know what movies are there filmed for the IMAX. I think Nolan does it a lot with all of his movies.
Yeah.
So maybe just run them back. Right? Like, just go backwards in time and play all of his movies again in the IMAX if you still have the thumb drive or whatever it is that you plug into the projector machine now.
Was Titanic IMAX?
Or I think that was before.
Was that before IMAX technology?
IMAX time. I remember the IMAX opened here, and one of the first movies on it, the first time I saw, was Fantasia 2000.
Oh, okay.
Went there my 10th birthday just to go and see the new IMAX theater and, you know, the Mickey running around playing music and everything. I thought, like, wow, this big screen is super cool.
Because I'd love to see the sinking scene in an IMAX, but if it wasn't filmed for that, never mind. Like, I think that'd be cool. Like, when the ship is going down, you've got Victor from The Young and the Restless holding on to the pole.
Well, maybe. I'm sure that they can upscale it.
Yeah, I mean, James Cameron can do.
If he can make it all the way down to the real thing.
Yeah, 30 sometimes.
They can upscale a movie to 8K or whatever.
But that's what's going through my mind now. And talk about something that would get me into the theater. Some of these, you know, screens are going to be empty once the movies stop being produced. Let's throw some old movies in there. I'm big on that. You said they're doing that out at the drive-in. Let's do that at some of the other theaters. Bring the ticket price down. Show me a movie that I haven't seen in the theater for a while.
Old movie? See, that would not get me in.
Oh, if you told me... Now, again, time might be an issue here. Let's suspend, you know, disbelief for just a second. If you told me the AMC is showing the trilogy of Back to the Future, give me the ticket. I will sit there for 9 hours. Or 7 hours.
Yeah, that wouldn't... I could watch it at home, right? Like, I could watch it...
But there is something about being in the theater.
It's nice. It's a good experience. There's a Paw Patrol movie coming out in September. And I'm like thinking, all right, I think my 3-year-old, he'll be almost 4. I think he'll be ready. We're going to do some training exercises. But I marked it on his calendar. Like, we can go to the movie. It's a fun experience. It's a fun time, especially when you're a kid. And it's fun when you're an adult. I was sitting through the trailers to Oppenheimer. And to go back to the, you don't really know what's coming out. There were a couple. There's a Napoleon movie coming out. That, you know, I had no idea. I saw the trailer and I said, I would enjoy going to see this in the movie theater. And Killers of the Flower Moon, I'm almost done with the book, and there's a movie coming out on this. I'm watching the trailer on this big screen. I would go and see this. Like, maybe I'm coming back to the movies. You just have to put the movies in front of me. And again, you know, carving out a little bit of time to going to see it, that might be tough.
Is Paw Patrol in the IMAX?
Oh, good question. I don't know if we'll start with a regular.
I was going to say
something.
If it's not in the IMAX, get ready for a road trip to the South Towns for that $5 Paw Patrol.
what is the best to take a little kid to? Is it the reclining seats? Is that probably the best seat?
Yeah.
Or will he be playing with the recliner the whole time?
That's
what I'm kind of thinking.
I mean, that's a concern if you bring Joe Beamer to the theater.
We're going to do a trial run. You know, bring out the projector and everything. All right, here's your chair. Sit there.
That's a good one. I like
the length of the movie, and we'll do like the first Paw Patrol movie. And
oh, there's already been one.
You got to sit there and also keep the questions. I know it's tough.
Yeah.
We do that a lot. Like if we're ever watching something on TV, like, oh, what's this guy? What's he doing? What's that? Which is fine in the house, in the movie theater. A question every 20 minutes.
Got to be able to differentiate the environment.
Yeah. So we'll do a trial run.
Very nice.
Before that.
Well, hopefully we got you out to the theater. There are plenty of showings of Barbie and Oppenheimer at whatever theater you're thinking of going to.
Yeah.
And maybe check out another one. But I'll tell you, Brian has sold me on Oppenheimer. I can't wait to see it. And I can't wait to be back here tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, and thank you for the bat suggestions to give someone a call. Although the Erie County Health Department will probably not help me in Niagara County. But I'll give them a try.
Hey, come on. You work in Erie County. Isn't that enough?
We'll see you tomorrow. BMS and Beamer on WBEN.